This recording of a Cheltenham Township School Board meeting is brought to you in cooperation with the Cheltenham Township GOP on the web at www.cheltenhamgop.org.
Cheltenham Township School Board Business Committee Meeting, February 7th, 2012.
Mary Russell.
Julie Hayward.
Steven Rackman.
Paul Blevins.
Sure, Bob. Napoleon Nelson. Okay. Again, obviously, I believe Tina and Stephanie are still here.
Okay.
And they will be back, but we've got enough. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Second.
Any discussion?
On what? The minutes?
The minutes?
No.
All in favor of the board's acclamations?
Aye.
Aye. The minutes are approved. All right. Mr.
Malinowski. Tonight's the first presentation. Actually, the first two presentations are really just updates for the board. There is two action items for this one. Shared services is a talk that we hear a lot of. In light of many of the current challenges that the school district faces, we look to share services with other districts, both within Montgomery County, as well as pretty much within southeastern Pennsylvania, which would be Montgomery, Bucks, Chester, and Delaware County, for a variety of things. Some of the common ones that you hear us talk about is healthcare consortiums, various other collaborative services, bidding, which we'll talk about, but there's some other ways in which RIU, and I'm even more particularly, I think what's important to know is that out of knowing that we have to do more with less, out of knowing that as numbers were greater, we do a lot as a standalone district with many of our neighbors, aside from any facilitation by the intermediate unit. We look to that because, you know, we get reduced costs. It also makes a lot of sense because we all have different programs, unique characteristics, we essentially have an educational program in all districts. So shared service, cooperative services can reduce local costs and often help us to maintain programs for students. The IU provides kind of four broad areas of cooperative services. The first is support for educational programs that can give us a reduction in local costs. For example, the IU does certain recording for us with federal grants, such as IDEA and access funding. They're doing it for all districts. They do a certain level, and then a certain level comes to the district. Sharing of personnel among districts relative to certain services and such. For example, if we as a district had to develop our own self-insurance plan, we'd be doing everything that the IU is doing, and they're spreading the costs over 20 some districts that are involved in that initiative. Gathering ideas for reduction, we've done some benchmarking. We also share relative to what is going on with our negotiations, budget, and other factors within our district. So it lets us know kind of where we stand there. And expanding purchasing goods and services not only countywide, but also, like I said, regionally within the southeastern Pennsylvania area. The kind of first kind of service that the IU offers to just review, they're initially working with Access Billing, which is our billing per student through the Medicaid program. They do a lot relative to districts with maintaining a more global record there on this funding. They're looking at, since every district has access as a component of it, we're doing a lot of the same paper shuffle to fulfill the federal requirements of other districts. So looking at how we can collaborate that and do that together more. One of their major first steps is to actually bring all the personnel that work on this from districts together to sync it up and to be all on the same page. Real estate appraisal services, as you know, in this economy, there is a lot of appeals that districts have had. We fare pretty well when we hear how our neighbors have been with various appeals. But essentially, we're all going through the appeal process as a standalone district. And one of the things that is a predominant factor of an appeal is appraisals. And so we use an appraiser, another district may use an appraiser, and so to consolidate and get kind of a bulk, so to speak, deal that you all would utilize through a bid process, the lowest bid for those appraisals, could benefit school districts. So right now the IU is going through an RFP process at which a later date we may be bringing back to if we feel it worthy for us to go through them for those services. A demand and response. This is a new program that's actually pretty exciting for school districts. Many school districts over the years have developed a demand and response program. In the summer, our buildings are vacant. We don't have a need for the energy demand that's in them. That's a value. There's an asset, essentially, to the electrical grid. We can commit that we do not need that, or that in a certain occurrence, let's say a high usage day, we would be able to be total curtailment of that building, which we have a lot of flexibility in the summer. We can get essentially a payout from the electric company. The IU went out for group RFP through this. They got some fantastic benefits. There's a three-year program through Enernoc, which is one of the things I'd like to move forward from this meeting to the legislative meeting. It's no cost to the district. Just for participating, we get a projected paycheck, essentially, for the program. If in an event we're able to curtail usage, we get kind of like a bonus. But if, say, that curtailment came at a time when it just wasn't feasible for us, we can say, no, we can't. We still keep our initial paycheck, and we would forgo the bonus, so to speak, with that. So great program. Many districts in the IU are participating in this. Some have gone off on their own for various reasons. It also gives us a really neat software program that's absolutely free to the district to monitor our electrical usage and use it as actually an instructional tool as well as a learning tool to see why, let's say at this time of night, is electricity peaking at one of our buildings. So it really gives us a lot of features for free. Many just had to purchase that software. The next kind of initiative that we're going to ask for approval is expense reduction analysts. They have presented to the IU and are willing to go and look at school districts' operational expenditures, so paper costs, costs for printer cartridges, all of those little areas that we participate in bids, but we never know. Are we getting the most competitive bids? We may be getting the lowest bid that we're able to, not only as a school district, but also through the IU, but is that on a national scheme a great price? Do we need to somehow seek to recruit additional things through that? This is a no-cost service that's being provided that we just have to sign up for and then have them review. Any savings that we do get, they do want a small portion of those, pay it back to them from that, but upfront, they'll do the review, they'll give us the report. It's at our decision whether to move forward with some of those reductions or not. So it's a great way for us to get things in check because, you know, at the end of the day, for us to go and look at is our price for pencils the lowest in the nation? Because a lot of work for a very small expense. They have a database, they have resources available. We currently participate in all of these joint purchasing programs through the IU. Includes IT, pest control, fire alarm services, water treatment, elevator service contracts. All the districts go in on these. We're doing one right now that falls into the category of bidding relative to waste disposal. So we're going out as an aggregate waste management. Again, helps to drive down the cost and also leverage all of us into a viable contract. I was also kind of researching these two areas relative to potential cost sharing amongst athletic trainers that districts use and shared services potentially among the four tech centers that are in the Montgomery County as a whole. The shared service that we're involved outside of the IU, again, the IU is just one venue. And while it's a great venue, we do a significant amount on our own. We're involved in numerous statewide purchasing initiatives, statewide benchmarking relative to costs and surveys. We're participating in the Southeastern Pennsylvania School Trust for medical and prescription self-insurance. If you recall, on the prescription side that we've been in the past 2 years, we've actually reduced by about 30% what our prescriptions were costing us. There's a Cheltenham Cuts Cost that was done on that that's on the website if you want more information. We also share gasoline purchasing with the township. We do a lot with the township relative to volume. For example, right now, we share the cost relative to appraisals for various assessment appeals because they're appealing to the same entity. We actually share that as a service with them. Workers' compensation, we're part of the statewide unemployment and workers' compensation consortium. We're self-insured for workers' compensation, which enables us to pretty much be paying actual claims and also great data relative to managing those claims. We're part of a utility consortium for electricity and natural gas. We share transportation with other LEAs. And again, all of these things that we do outside of the IU really don't cost us anything but the staff time that is involved in these and having savings. There's no kind of overhead or anything that we're paying to do it. So it really greatly benefits us as a district. We participate in statewide investment pools and trusts, which is really, again, you recall last year we entered the OPEB trust to put money aside for that obligation. All of those trust documents, because it was a statewide initiative, were created and spread amongst all districts instead of just us having to move forward and recreate the wheel ourselves. So the two action items to review, one that to prepare the legislative session to approve participation in the program for demand response through InterNOC, and a review of expenditures by expense reduction analyst.
Excellent. And again, the reason we're going over this, you know, even just in part of the larger budget context, for you and everybody else, one, just to help ensure that, you know, we're diligently looking at those line items, and also, again, these are some of the things that are going to eventually be baked into projections, and, you know, as for the rest of the calendar, we'll look at, you know, again, another look at the budget in the March meeting. We'll look at some of the, you know, longer-term, you know, five-year plans and things like that as they currently stand. But these are things that we wanted to make sure that this, as well as the next piece, that we talked about in advance of the March meeting and then the public discussions in April, or I guess at the end of March. Questions? I'll go down the table.
For the expense reduction analysis, for how long do we have to pay them a percentage of our savings?
It's for 2 years, but it's provided that we hit the savings they've projected. So we monitor, and they work with us to monitor those. We don't hit their projections, we don't pay.
Okay. And what percentage do we take?
It's a 50% cost sharing of the actual savings. But what's most important to us is that lowers our baseline cost. So as we look to project forward, if we were projecting 2%, what's greatest to us is to get that initial down, because that retrends our baseline cost as we look forward. So we really benefit over the long run by bringing those costs down.
So that after the 2 years, then we could keep contracting, or we don't have to keep paying them after that first 2 years.
Yep.
Our own contracting and...
Yep. Absolutely. The other thing is that when you're trying new vendors, the great thing with this is that, you know, if they're going to make a recommendation relative to migration services, they stand behind that. So we have something rather than just saying, we're going to switch and try this. And then when we try this, it's not able to deliver supplies that are of quality that we need. They can work with us on that, you know, that piece.
I built the queue based on this.
Yes, I thought that's the way you said it.
Russell, Mr. Rocker.
Just a couple of questions. What does LEA stand for?
Local Education.
Okay, thank you. And then when you have the shared savings with the athletic trainers, have we thought of also putting that to the doctors that we use for the football teams?
At this point, like I noted in the PowerPoint, it's just an idea that's under development at the IU. I know they're collecting data relative to what services districts are using, and that's a part of that.
Okay. And then I was really pleased to see the InterNOC initiative because of the disparity of utility usage at the various schools. So it would be really great to get to the call.
The intermediate unit is looking at all sorts of idea sharing for cost savings for school districts.
Can we share the snacks that we bring to them? Now that we have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Mr. Rocker.
Actually, one of the things I wanted to ask was kind of similar to what Ms. Haywood just brought up. In the role of athletics, there are trainers and doctors and all kinds of people associated with the sports that we do. A doctor has to be present in certain things, trainers are present. We could look at the MCIU, but how about, since if we're going to be partnering with Arcadia and all these sports ventures, it may be something that we could share and or they would be interested in covering as just one more facet of how we join those two programs together. The other thing is on the MCIU cooperative services, point three was gathering ideas for reduction of costs for region, state, and national sources. Point four is expansion of purchase of goods and services on a countywide or regional within the county basis. Are we precluded by law from broadening the area with which we partner? In other words, suppose there was a Delaware Valley group, or suppose there was, you know, a tri-state or an eastern regional or something broader than that to get goods and services.
Yeah, we do that. We do that absolutely, as long as it complies with the Pennsylvania guidelines. The state gets tricky because among states there are different guidelines. But yeah, we do that.
In the best of all possible worlds, something that 50 states would be involved in, you know, ordering all XYZ textbooks or whatever would be in bulk like that has to be.
Can I just address that with the IU? The IU is part of the Pennsylvania Intermediate Units Association, so it's the PAIU is like the link for all the service agencies throughout the state. So all the IUs throughout the state go through the PAIU net. And then they also link with all the educational service agencies throughout the country. So it's more than just the Montgomery County Intermediate Unit. It goes nationwide.
So the answer is yes.
Yes.
Ms. Buck. I actually had a different question to start out with, but something occurred to me as I was looking back through this. You're sharing athletic trainers. You're researching that, at least. I'm just wondering, as an umpire, do you also look into, you know, MCIU level sharing of, because I know that umpires get used regionally. Is there a countywide, you know, resource for referees, umpires, all the different things that we need to go and
But we
contract for that service. Does PIAA provide that service, or
so you're
funding that? Okay.
That's
stable. Great. Okay. Well, so you don't have to do it individually, each school district.
No.
Okay. Great. No, I was just curious.
Yeah.
No, I'm thrilled. I'm very happy. That's great.
Any other questions, especially as it pertains to the action items? Public comment.
Jim Custer, Wincoat. I guess these initiatives are on top of the initiatives that you've already taken to reduce a lot of costs. I know that many years ago, Cheltenham was never involved in any joint purchasing, or very rarely, and now you've increased it. So I guess I'm just talking about diminishing returns. Are these going to add more returns, or have we gotten the biggest return we can in the last budget cycle, and this might just be incremental?
It's a continuing return because a lot of items are on cycles. So, for example, like when we bid up trash, it's on a three-year cycle.
Okay.
We initially weren't, you know, doing that, you know, years back, you know, is what you're referring to, but it's a return in that you always have different bidders, you're reaching out to different, you know, service providers and such like that. So we see, I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. We go out for bid, what comes in lower this year as opposed to previous years. A lot of it depends upon what the market is out there, you know, for things like paper and such like that. It also depends upon competition, who's new to the market, who wants to be, you know, become known type of thing that will offer a little bid, and then next year they're not. So it's really an ongoing thing. And then again, within these categories, we continue to more streamline and unify, because, you know, while we may have started a supply bid and have had these are our supplies, we try to look to uniform what we do so that we're getting the best prices. Because if you just go out and you say, I only want a Bic pen, Bic pens have a certain, you know, price on them. If you say, we'll take any blue ballpoint pen, it opens it up more. So we're constantly doing that and finding a balance.
Okay.
In lieu of taking a straw vote, I think I know where we are. Let's move. I guess, yeah, does anybody
Have any objection to those items? Should we take a straw vote?
As a recommendation to make at the legislative meeting.
Review of transportation efficiencies. I know we continue to keep you up to date relative to how we've reached our target within the budget. We gave you some information in the past and just wanted to kind of solidify that. What drives transportation costs? There's a variety of factors here: routing, scheduling, how old your vehicles are, how well you maintain your vehicles, what you do as far as activity buses and field trips, and then a variety of other factors on a smaller level. What's important to know is there's a lot of factors that can impact us in a year over time relative to transportation costs. We were at a high point relative to those costs and have taken measures to reduce those. How do you control costs? Because pretty much we have to transport within the guidelines of the school. We certainly, however, at our level, as a district, can decide what approach we use to provide these services. We also have the ability to control what our routes are with that. And so there really is some variables there within what the state mandates and dictates to us. That we're able to, examine. Technology has greatly helped us. The basic ideas that we've run off of relative to looking at busing is fill out buses to a maximum capacity. When they're not running at a maximum capacity, you're not only losing the former transportation subsidy, I guess, today, but transportation subsidy as well as the bus isn't necessarily operating at the maximum capacity. To run a bus for one kid is the same as running it for the maximum capacity of the kid in most cases. And so really that. The other point is reuse it. And by reuse, it doesn't mean we have buses that are 50, 60 years old. What it means is if we have a bus, we want it to start as early as possible. We want it to end as late as possible, which means looking at our times, our schedules, how we do it. You know, buses don't just go to that one school that they do first. They're going to multiple schools. What we've really tried to do and utilize and leverage technology is to see what's the most efficient way. In some certain cases, that bus goes to the school and then goes out to the outlier kids that may be on a hazardous route and brings them back. So they're really doing two. So we really have gone off of that when we're looking to really work with and redesigning our capacity on buses. Other ways to increase capacity, of course, as the textbook would say, bus stop consolidation. We haven't done that much of that. Ride time changes. What we've really done is we've really looked at we have relative to the time on a bus and what the best way is to utilize the various stops. You have to allow anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes per stop. It also is that approximately use about a half gallon of gas per bus stop you make. So again, looking at that ideal level there. Looking at grade mixing relative to our buildings and what we have there. Also mainstreaming all our students onto one bus. We continue to work to do that. We'll also work with vehicle specifications. If that vehicle is cut out to have a handicap wheelchair lift, we want that lift to be utilized on that bus. Otherwise, we want a bus with all the seats because we can get more kids onto that bus. And what really helps us is the leverage that we work with for a student, and they have a variety of buses and types they can provide to us. Since we don't own our fleet, it's not a matter of, all we have is this bus. It's a matter of what else do they have in their inventory. And we continue to work with them relative to that. Running strategies, I talked about combination runs, also double runs. A bus comes to that school and then does a quick pickup around that school relative to folks that may be in that area. So that's really helped us. And it's really, it's hard to believe, but it is really true that when you really take a look at routes, you utilize some of the mapping and information software out there, how efficient you can make the district's roads. Increasing reuse. A few years back, I believe under my predecessor, Stacy, we did some modifications of bell times, which gave us essentially what we call a three-tier schedule. The other kind of way to increase reuse is consolidate stops. The less stops that you have that bus is making, the faster that bus can get to its destination. So oftentimes, as a bus route might be getting elongated, if you can look to consolidate certain stops, it makes a lot of sense.
We also hear from parents who sometimes like it rather than being a standalone stop, because if it's younger students and there's a parent there, they take turns relative to monitoring. Routing strategies relative to timing. We sure wish the lights would get synchronized on Township Line Road as much as anybody else does. We need to look at those pieces, because that's really where, you know, people say we see four buses in this neighborhood, and that's because we don't want to go down Township Line. We kind of want to cut it at, you know, various parallels, because sit on that to scoop kids is a waste for the bus, and you're not maximizing who you're getting on that bus. We also do a lot of resource sharing. Resource share amongst other school districts, on a onesie-twosie basis. When we have a student that's going to an out-of-district placement, we put that in place relative to a sharing strategy. And that's a big savings. Again, for us this year, we've been able to share one route with a neighboring school district. We have half the cost for the bus and an aid, which is roughly $70,000 for us as a standalone. We split it. It's $35,000 between those two districts. It's an instant savings for us as a district. Other cost containment strategy, really making small changes, looking at what we have, looking at what we can manage, what we can improve with buses. Sometimes it is, working with first student to take that flight to get newer buses because there may be improved seating capacity on there, on that bus. Looking at when we have changes throughout the year, where we have buses that we can plug students into rather than just recreating, this means a new bus type of thing and that. Again, working a lot with buildings because they really have the knowledge base of what's working and not working. That's one of the things we've really done this year. So for this year, as to our performance compared to last year, we have reduced our number of vehicles by 10 on a daily basis. We also are sharing one run with another neighboring school district. Our initiatives for the upcoming year to continue to look to reduce costs, transfer it over to a software system that's improved. Our actual GIS system for mapping is within that software. We actually will be able to see, much like you see on TV for traffic, little bugs relative to green or red when buses are on time or off of time. So we have better data to know when buses are performing to the standard we set or not. Continuing to look at efficiencies in routing, that's something we continue to work through. Eventually, once we get, that we don't have kids going to a modular school, that will bring us savings, because right now we're having essentially extra buses because you take kids out of a school, you have walkers that you're now busing, and Chelton Elementary is one of the highest walkers of all of the schools. So, that will help us down the line. Improved communication relative to bus status. As we get better communication, I understand with our software, eventually someday may be able to actually spit out when the bus is delayed type of thing as a notification. We can take more initiatives relative to stops and students on that bus. We continue to look to align our contract costs to other LEAs. We're going back to First Student again this year to ask them what they can do relative to our pricing, because the contract set with no really benchmarking there. We're fortunate that actually our First Student kind of office and hub also works with Bristol Township School District, but they have the same limitations. So we're going to be partnering up with them to look at, as a whole, what can we pressure First Student with? Because though First Student's one company, our First Student is different than the First Student used for North Penn. It's a different division. So working within that to kind of utilize that. And then I know that once this contract is up, we will go up for competitive RFP for transportation services to see what's out there, because that's one of the root costs that is driving us, is that our benchmark baseline in the contract is a higher cost per bus than neighboring school districts. And it's not an excuse, but we can only do so much to cut back route-wise before we tackle that root problem, and we're prepared to. We have about 2 years left on this contract there. And that was it.
Okay, I have to have a couple questions first. How is the transportation now organized? I mean, I know that the PASPA request was to suggest that we bring all of this in-house into your department, I believe, as opposed to, is it there currently, and would the elimination of, if that holds, all the reimbursements, does that change how we would think to organize that? Is it just Are there any personnel costs associated with it that if we're not dealing with all the paperwork required?
No, I think one of the things the audit was getting is we pay a management cost to First Student because you need a, you know, kind of go-to for transportation. We pay that as a fee as part of our contract because we don't have somebody on staff to do that. We currently have two people that we're paying for, and again, I don't know, in collaboration with, you know, the districts that also are using First Student, if we can get some efficiencies and economies of scale there,
right.
Because I think ultimately the routing is getting to a point where it's virtually done by a computer.
Right.
You know, the days of having somebody plug people in on a map and such are gone. So I think we're working with that. I think that'll be part of when we go out for RFPs, what does, you know, an outside vendor want to commit to for that. I don't know that it has to be two people, but we definitely, you know, need somebody there. But again, because it's not our staff, we don't have to pay, you know, our benefit structure, our, you know, our Social Security retirement costs there to it. So it is advantageous to us from.
But again, that reporting required for reimbursement, if that's not going to be, I don't know if there's still reporting required for, you know, just as everybody's safe, but obviously.
Yeah, well, we absorbed the whole transition.
Right.
There's no additional staff. So we've absorbed it into the existing structure that we have, and actually Ms. Michaels and I and Ms. David have parsed out amongst all of the existing staff. So it's more a relief than there's no position to eliminate in our office relative to that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I mean, I can imagine that the technology go quite far with this. Are we able to take all of the students in a region and you know, across districts and overlay them and understand how routing would go for that, specifically related to the out-of-district schools, the special schools that we have to send students to? Are we able to overlay, you know, to put overlays onto the whole area and say, okay, let's identify the best routes to cover all the students that are going to this particular school or not?
That was an attempt by a number of school districts this year. And it was a debacle with the understatement.
Because the technology wasn't supporting it? They all used
a variety of factors that technology could consider, to include the fact that we may have a policy that students can't ride a bus more than an hour, but in other districts maybe an hour and a half. So that's going to impact and drive those times. The start times that eventually, I mean, as much as you can stagger them, you're all starting before 9 o'clock eventually. So there's not that. And the fact that you're crossing boundaries, there, what that failure proved to districts was that there is personal knowledge that has to be there from the person doing the routing and the driver, because there are conditions that technology cannot predict. There are detours that go up because of construction that we cannot react to. There will be days in which it snows, in which our roads may be plowed, but another district's roads may not be plowed. Yeah, exactly. There's a variety of factors. So that's where we look to do on the shared service side is kind of the smaller scale kids, because you're right, for the handful of kids, that's a little bit more feasible. But when you're talking huge buses of kids, I don't think there was anything redeeming about that process that those districts could say was worthwhile. It was almost too fast, too quick.
And, well, just to follow up briefly, you mentioned that there are policy differences between the districts. I mean, if that was that a significant factor, and is there something that we should be looking at in terms of adjusting our policies so that facilitate our ability to do this? I'm just wondering if
well,
it
actually,
was a factor.
Well, actually, we were in a meeting this morning at Eastern with all the 7 schools, with business managers, superintendents, as well as the transportation people, so that we can continue this, you know, conversation. Even though we know that, you know, the consortium that was tried at the beginning of the year failed, for the most part, we still think there may be some merit in taking a look at it. So I think later this week, our transportation folks and a number of people are going to get together to continue the conversation, because we do believe that there are still things that we can do to save costs in transportation. So we're going.
Just know that under that proposal, that there are some school districts that are still operating together, and they have actually now learned from the mistakes that occurred, and it's not perfect, but
far from.
But they're moving forward and attempting to try and come up with a map, so to speak, of how to make it right.
Part of the problem with that was that it was such a large area.
Right.
When you take a North Penn and a Lower Moreland, or, you know, it was just a large area, and then you were going through districts that weren't participating.
Right.
So it was really too broad, and we decided, the superintendent, that those of us that attend Eastern, it's a smaller area. Let's start there, and then we can sort of maybe grow it. But we had our meeting today about that, and like I said, we'll continue the conversation.
Any other board questions? From the public? Move on.
Filling the buses only had 8 wheels. Just grab pictures.
Background, we have utilized PASBO, the Pennsylvania Association of School Business Officials, to review costs, benchmark operational areas of the district. We've utilized them for transportation, as we brought up in our discussion. Also, a few years back, we utilized them relative to technology. Both audits were completed. And we received operating-wise. Their audits focus on operating issues relative to benchmarking, costs, efficiencies that can be obtained from the day-to-day perspective relative to operations, approximately $3.5 million. The Business Affairs Committee bring forward to have a review done of facilities. Again, from an operational perspective, we'll look at benchmarking. The information will give us an idea relative to what our current best practices and quality of service are. Also areas in which we can potentially look to reduce costs while maintaining services and meeting our needs. What this process entails relative to is a two-day on-site peer review of folks selected from across the state for this project. They'll look at various operational areas. Also, in light of the fact that we're in negotiations for our support staff contract, they'll look at that because that pretty much binds what you're able to do on a daily basis relative to efficiency, relative to length of workday with there, and be able to give us a final report that, you know, like for the other audits, those board members were here, gets presented to the board, and then we can implement those recommendations that may be there. You know, as we see fit. The costs remain the same as previous audits. They would be able to, relative to timeline, give it to us that we would be able to implement any of their recommendations in the upcoming, you know, year. So we would have that to be able to look to that for next year, you know, within this area. Also know where we stand relative to both the state and, you know, the demographic perspective. You know, within what, you know, our operation is for facilities. And that was it. So the recommendation to move this to the agenda as the legislative would come from this meeting.
I'm just curious about the, have we talked to Dr. Bobby about the disruption or the priority of doing this now, while we have a lot of other very critical things going on in the district in terms of repairs that are going on and his ability to support this effectively? And, you know, and we just had a long facilities meeting talking about, you know, a need to gather and put together some planning that will support some timely decisions, I think, on other things. I'm concerned about priority and
well, they're able to
do it now.
Yeah, and from a time point, they do 2 days on site. They're able to schedule it at, you know, wherever the district would, you know, agree to schedule it, you know, with them. And pretty much their review pretty much entails a review. They have a set, you know, list of information. It's information that's readily available. It's AFR data. It's our support staff contract. You know, it's information that, you know, we have, you know, available to provide to them so that they're, you know, from a workload standpoint that we found with transportation technology is not a, you know, significant burden. I mean, it is time, you're right, with that. But they're willing to do it at whatever interval, you know, we would agree to. They don't just, you know, like the Auditor General office,
does audits of schools. They just call today and they say, we'll be in on Monday. We get to select this, you know, our local auditors. We'll be there the first week of August.
Yeah.
They are able to work with you. It's not on, you know, they're working for us on our time frame, so they understand that, you know, that limitation.
Okay. Just to follow this, and Dr. Davis, you're in concurrence with this, and Dr. Bobby is, agrees that this is...
Well, we've talked, Dr. Bobby and I talked about, just in general, the fact that many members of the board felt that they wanted some kind of facilities review.
I've not heard that.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I'm hearing. So, and I know Mr. Malinowski, you know, shared with me after his meeting, you know, knowing that this was going to be on. So, you know, knowing that, you know, we can choose exactly when we do it. I mean, obviously, we're busy. We're always going to be busy. So, if this is additional information that would be helpful to the board, certainly we support that.
And you support it?
I can support, you know, I don't know what we'll get. I mean, it'll be interesting because usually, you know, in the transportation, they'll sit down and, you know, we'll see, you know, what additional information we get because we do have a lot of information. It may be able to provide sort of that broader umbrella with all the other information that we have as we move forward, and we'll provide the board with some information to, you know, help them make decisions.
Take that as a yes.
Yes.
Mr.
I would certainly agree that, you know, Dr. Bobby is obviously very, very busy, and I certainly would agree that we don't want to throw any grease on the floor, but it sounds as though they're more than willing to be as flexible as they possibly can be in terms of coming in. And it may also be that being here at a busy part of his life is more advantageous, whatever little bit of heartburn it creates, than being here when he's not that busy, although my experience with Dr. Bobby, I don't know when that is. You know, between 3 and 4 in the morning on a Tuesday, you know. So I think it's, you know, pick your poison. As long as they're willing to be that flexible, the experience that we've had with these cost reviews is incredible. I mean, you spend $20,000, you get a $3.5 million return. If it's anywhere in that ballpark, it's worth it, and I would think that Dr. Bobby, along with the rest of all of us, would be thrilled at this point going forward, because this is a critical point at which we are going to be jumping headfirst into a whole lot of very expensive, potentially expensive, not very expensive, facility issues that, you know, we can save some millions of dollars just by streamlining or reforming procedures and whatever.
And the other thing is that they, you know, again, we always see audits, and I've learned because I've had audits, and like every month there's a different audit cycle we're going through. This one looks to make accommodations because you want to know, you know, we talk about, you know, things that we've brought in-house. You know, we want to know that, you know, is working, and they look to do that. It's one of those things we've learned from the past. They look for where your strengths are and such to call into, because you don't want to lose that. If we're doing things that are really, really well, you know, we want to continue to. We don't want to lose sight with, you know, budget cuts or something like that, of cutting something that's really good. So there's that component there, you know, as well.
I actually have even though Ms. Lieberson couldn't be here this evening, he sent me if you bear with me as I read it. Thank you.
Is it 3 points?
It's a three questions. Yeah.
It's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs. No. Over the past several years, it's been one of the prime objectives of both the board and the administration to increase the efficiency while maintaining effectiveness at every level and department of the district, thereby saving money and implementing effective management of the budget. Towards this end, the administration and board have enacted audits of several of the major areas of operation of the district. In supporting the audit of the business office, transportation, technology, special education, our district has indeed moved forward in this goal of increasing effectiveness and efficiency. Through these audits, albeit some also mandated by law, we have been able to streamline our operation while maintaining the high quality of service to our children. One must understand that these audits were and are not designed to find fault or establish a basis for criticism. Their purpose is to have a third independent party take a serious, objective look at our operation and make recommendations to improve the evaluated operation. These audits are designed to review procedures that have been in place so as to locate areas in which improvement of efficiency can be made aligned with the district's goals. Having already completed audits of the business side, technology, transportation, special education is therefore only within consistency to now pursue an audit of the operational aspects of the facility side. Just as moving forward with an audit of the business office of special education was not in any way an effort to find fault in the director of these departments, the same can be said of an audit of the facilities or any other department. I'm not advocating inspection of our facilities. That has already been done internally by our highly respected facility office. But we do need an evaluation of the procedures, just as we did in these other departments, ranging from bidding to the processing of maintenance orders and requests. As I already mentioned, this audit cannot internally be done. By having an analysis done of our operational procedures by a third independent party who is not involved in the daily operations, distance can be achieved so as to perhaps see things that cannot be seen from within. We need this audit to confirm or improve efficiency and to be consistent with what has been done over the past 2 years in other aspects of the operation of the district. I hope my board colleagues agree with my perspective and position on this matter. Thank you. Mark Davis.
It's long-winded even when he's not here.
Do I relay
that
to
you? Absolutely. Less in person.
Just briefly. I'd like to remind or at least note that all of the board members agreed that any new action items and requests for items on agendas would be routed through the committee chairs of the committee. As far as I know, this did not come through us, so I have no problem with it going up forward, and I understand the rationale, but I don't think procedure was followed in this case.
What?
As far as I know, if this was an idea that came up from the board, it was not routed through the chairs of the committee. So.
We discussed it at our planning meeting.
We discussed it, but how did it get on there? How did it get on the agenda? Didn't come from us, as far as I know.
We met about agenda review.
I understand, but how does it, if it came from the board, it should have come through the committee chairs, and that's we don't have to go further into it, just a note.
Dino, is that your comment?
That was my comment.
I guess basically that was what Mark, Mr. Leverson just said was what I had planned on saying. I think as a board, I don't see how we could not welcome an audit, you know, to have an independent, objective third party, you know, come in and look. And again, I guess they thought this now, and that's it, not so much to find weaknesses and deficiencies involved, but also to plan the strengths to make sure that we continue, you know, with the processes and procedures that we currently have in place. I mean, I think that's part of our role, you know, so I don't see how anybody could be opposed to it.
I didn't say I was opposed to it.
I didn't say you were opposed to it. I said I didn't see how anyone could be opposed. I didn't point the finger at you.
Last question.
As part of the final report, obviously there's going to be recommendations for improvements going forward, and that report will be provided in June of this year.
Yeah, I mean, if we're on track with completing it within the time frame, they're able to provide that to us, yes.
Okay, so those then recommendations that might really warrant some cost savings to us, we won't really have the benefit, we will have the benefit for those the following year, mm-hmm. and be able to build those as a budget for the following year.
Right, because we don't know, I mean, again, like with the transportation, they made some recommendations that we didn't take into consideration, but others we did. And so just because they make them doesn't mean we follow through with them, and they're based upon, you know, their analysis that there may be idiosyncrasies that we say, this wouldn't work for us.
Right, and I get how I'm
so we would be able to, you know, move with whatever we want for implementation and incorporate those savings. You always have things that come up during the year, you know, to utilize the savings on board, you know, build them into the following year budget.
Josh, my only point was that it could not be built into this budget cycle in terms of savings.
Yeah, and some of it could be low hanging, and some of it could just take time and investment.
I just wanted to, again, ask the administrators whether your experience with the prior two, I mean, obviously the cost-benefit analysis looks great. I don't know if those are some of the things you would have identified on your own anyway, or whether they came solely through these audits. Is it your sense that the PASBO auditors are truly able to evaluate things? What am I trying to say here? It's not just a checklist that they give. They take into consideration the fact that we have these aging buildings and we have people who can go in and fix a bathroom tomorrow if we need them to. And so you're confident that the quality of the analysis will be beneficial.
I would defer to
you. Yeah, I mean, I think that I wasn't here for the technology one. But the only one I've gone through here was transportation. Now, some of the things that they brought up were ideas that we had. You know, in place relative to, you know, cutting back, but others were based upon benchmarking and data that we didn't have. We didn't know where, you know, we had stood relative to, you know, certain aspects there. So it's a mix because of what, you know, in that one we knew we were missing. We knew we had a high cost of transportation, let's say. You know, we knew some of the factors that drove it, and others, such as their recommendations with the management and other components, you know, were maybe factors that we didn't have the solid data on. And with this, I can't project what's necessarily going to happen.
But you never know with an
right.
No, but I mean, if you have a track record and they've done a good job for you, then you can kind of hope that you'll do a similar good job going forward if you've gotten a series of them and they've been, you know.
No, well, and I can say certainly the transportation yielded good results for us. The technology yielded great results for us. So when we've gone out and we've, you know, done audits, we've done them in the curricular areas as well. We had, and those we did through the IU. But again, that helped to drive what we do with our reading program, what's happening with math. So we really have received great results. There's always been a benefit. And we've not gone through an audit where we said that was a waste of time. And PASBO certainly does. I mean, I've never been in a district that had PASBO come out for a facilities audit, but certainly this is something that they do.
Chair. No more items on the agenda. Is there a motion to?
Well, we have to take public comment.
Oh, that's right. Any public comment on the
floor? Well, yeah, since I'm still here, I just think, I mean, I'm not sure where that conversation was going, but PASBO is Pennsylvania Association of School Business Officials. These guys are familiar with what the practices are. 501. Others, or 500 other school districts, and I'm sure that, and usually they come in with a generic set of questions, and they match that up against what's going on everywhere else, and you get what you get. You know, whether it changes, you know, how long people hang out in the, you know, loading dock at the high school at night, you know, maybe you want to look into that too, but, you know.
That's what they look at,
then. But they look at that type of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, they do look at that.
I just noticed it at the post-prom party. Could you come down and help carry a box?
I believe we still have a gender review, is that right?
Yes, we have a gender review.
Oh, my goodness.
And a bill, excuse me.
Oh, my goodness. Let's get out of here then.
Are there any other public comments? Seeing none and nothing remaining on the agenda, I motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
This recording is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons license title. Creative Commons Attribution No Derives 3.0 United States License. This recording is copyright 2012 by KD3HW. Thank you for downloading us, and have a great day.